This next story here on KNKX comes from our weekly show, Sound Effect. Here's Sound Effect host Gabriel Spitzer.
It can seem like there's not a lot of room for nuance and ambiguity in our culture today. I mean, our politics are hyper-polarized. Our media seem to push us toward the extremes. Well, Jenna Moore-Lone, for one, thinks there's value in learning how to work through situations where the answer is not so clear. She's the founder of the University of Washington's Center for Philosophy for Children, and she's also involved in something called the Ethics Bowl. The Ethics Bowl works a little bit like the debate team, though, as you'll hear, there are some key differences. And to learn more, we invited in two of the participants. Molly Sanderson is a senior at Seattle Academy, and Paris Hodges is a junior at Ballard High. And we asked Jenna Moore-Lone to join the conversation, too, beginning with the point that not every ethical question is a gray area.
Should I steal this wallet that I see hanging out from, you know, your back pocket? That seems to me to be a pretty black and white kind of question. But the questions that we tend to have to think about, the questions that are problematic for us, I think most of those are questions that have gray areas.
So how does something like the Ethics Bowl help prepare people to work in that gray area?
Part of the idea is to help people get a little more comfortable with uncertainty, with recognizing that some of the decisions we make have a wide range of possibilities, and that the way in which we choose is going to be the best choice that we could make depending on how well we've reasoned it through, and that notwithstanding whatever conclusion we draw, someone else might have a different conclusion. And that might be a conclusion that also has merit.
Well, we're lucky enough to have a couple of students who did participate in this year's Ethics Bowl to help us understand a little bit better. We have Paris Hodgson and Molly Sanderson. Hi, guys.
Hi.
So let's get an idea of how it works. So there are... You start out with a question or a case, right? So, Jenna, would you present the case to them?
And yeah, I'll just briefly talk about it. This is based on an actual event that happened last spring in which Harvard had admitted a group of students, and there was a group of about 10 who had created a private Facebook group through which they were sharing all kinds of really offensive
memes.
Thanks. Really offensive memes, you know, racist, sexist, and violent, and basically offensive to almost anyone. And Harvard, when the admissions office got wind of this, rescinded the students' offers of admission. So the question is, was Harvard entitled to do that? Is it ethically acceptable to be monitoring other people's social media behavior, to be basing decisions about admission on what you do in a private social media group, which of course leads to the question, you know, is social media private, et cetera?
Okay, so if in the Sound Effect Ethics Bowl here, one of you would take a first stab at this, right? Is there a volunteer?
I can go.
Okay, hit us.
All right, so what I would argue is that, okay, so first we need to address the question of, is social media private, and do you have a right to keep your social media presence to yourself, or can other people take that into account when evaluating you for, say, a college admissions process? And I would argue that there's no such thing as private social media, even if you are on a private page, because unless everybody else in the group consented explicitly to not share that information, it can be assumed that all the information on the page available to everyone belongs to everyone, and they can do what they want with it. And so it was totally right for somebody to share what they saw on this very offensive page with Harvard. So I guess now that we've established that Harvard got the information in an ethical way, we would say that it's absolutely right to judge someone's moral character as a means of determining whether they can participate in your greater community. Harvard is a private institution, and they get to select what kind of person they want.
And so now you would have some kind of a response, Paris.
Mm-hmm. Well, we would actually probably agree with you with your argument.
Are you allowed to agree with each other?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's, well, so I also do debate and you're very much not allowed to agree with each other in debate. And that's what I think is so amazing about Ethics Bowl, is that if you honestly agree with the other team, you can say that, and then you can just ask them questions that help them expand on what they've already come up with, or critique specific links in their logic. You don't have to kind of BS the disagreement if there's not a disagreement there.
Then it's the judge's job in asking questions to kind of push at what the students are saying to try and help them see sort of what might be a counter argument.
So how would you push Molly and Paris?
So I might say something like, isn't there a concern, given how young they are, that A, Harvard might be having a chilling effect on speech, on students' ability to express themselves, because if they saw this more as a learning opportunity rather than just rescinding admission and saying you have to go somewhere else, wouldn't that be a more beneficial, not just to those students, but also to the general student community? Because here you have students who might decide, okay, we're just going to keep saying these things, only we're going to find a more private way to say it, right? Or we're not going to express ourselves as freely. And maybe, I mean, in this case, this is a particularly egregious case, right? That this is speech that most people would find offensive. But what if they weren't engaging in speech that most people would find offensive, but in speech that some people or even many people would find offensive? What's the line there? I think those are the kinds of questions, if I were the judge, I would ask.
So, Molly and Paris, what are some of the things that you've learned from doing this? Has it changed the way you think at all?
The way I like look at things, and I look at problems just in my own life, like these small problems, like should I go hang out with this person or should I go hang out with my boyfriend, something like that. And I have to think of how like it's affecting each of them. Like I start overthinking everything. It's almost added to my problem of overthinking in a good way. In a good way.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah.
How about you, Molly?
Let's see. Recently, I was at a town hall speech with Robert Reich, and he was talking all about how important it is to be better bipartisan citizens. And I so agree with that. But I have never really known how to do that when people on the other side of the aisle I can just so strongly disagree with. It's hard to go into that looking to compromise. But, I mean, what Robert Reich was saying was that we need to go into a conversation ready to have our minds changed. And Ethics Bowl has prepared me to do that.
Well, Jana Morlone is the director and founder of the University of Washington's Center for Philosophy for Children. Paris Hodgson is a junior at Ballard High School, and Molly Sanderson is a senior at Seattle Academy. They both participated in this last year's Ethics Bowl. And Molly, you're going to the Nationals, right?
Yes, I am.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Well, thank you guys all for joining us and talking about gray areas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.